Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. How did I
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Hi, this is Stephanie Megan. You're listening to Broke Girl Therapy. Therapy is too expensive. You're listening to Broke Girl Therapy. Broke Girl Therapy.
Yay.
It's been months.
Yeah, I guess it has.
But I feel like...
It doesn't feel that long, though.
A lot has, like, changed since then. Like, you have Bubba beads. We'll get into it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I wore them.
You have to plug it before, like, anything else. Okay. Let me introduce. Hold on. Do you have your water?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I have my gallon.
I was like, wait, need your water before
Stay hydrated, friends.
You know. Hi, guys. It's me, Stephanie Megan, your host of Broke Girl Therapy. And guess the fuck what? We got Rachel W, Yay. The motherfucking filthy bitch.
I'm back.
You're back, aka CEO of Bubba Beads.
It's real.
So, wait, what is Bubba Beads? And my cat. What is Bubba Beads? And where did this inspiration come from?
It's so wild. It's probably how you felt about the podcast where shit just kind of like happens.
Yeah.
Literally. Okay. So I had a trip planned with some friends to Costa Rica, the end of May. So it was like, what, 4 months ago or so? Mm. And that was when we did our last episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember because you're like, I'm going to Costa Rica.
Yes. I had talked about that. It's kind of funny how we're talking about this because I did that episode with you, and then we did an episode with Rose for the art teacher, which was so fun.
Good ass episode. Brian loves you. Brian loved that episode. He just like loves you so much.
I love him. We're friends on like Instagram on everything. I love him so much. I like want to meet him so bad.
Yeah, no, he seems
like such a good guy.
Yeah.
But anyways, I did that episode with Rose, and we just talked about, you know, art and
Being an artist
and having, feeling like drowned by society and just normal everyday life, that sometimes it can like take your focus off of it.
Mm.
And it got me thinking, wow, I really haven't created in a while. Like I really haven't been doing much. I do things here and there, but
I love that made you like realize, because even in the middle of the show, you're like, I guess I am an artist.
I really didn't.
Our teacher podcast with Rose McAleese. Plug.
I really never thought about it. And it's just one of those, it's imposter syndrome. I'm sure maybe you've thought it. You're like, I'm a podcaster. Like to say that is like.
I don't even like to call myself a podcaster because I know.
But you are.
I feel like I'm not a real one because I know I'm a real one, but I'm like more, I feel like I'm beyond a podcaster. It's not even imposter syndrome. It is like, I am better.
Yeah. No, sorry. No, but that is true.
But it did take me, but as like a host and a producer, like that part as a creator, like it, that does, that part is
right.
Like, you know, podcaster is easy to say.
It takes you just a moment to own what you are and what you're doing.
Right.
Because it's scary and it's all subjective, right? Like even a podcast is subjective to different audiences. Same with art. So yeah, that like made me realize, oh, I am. And then I realized I wasn't really honoring the artist in me because I wasn't prioritizing any of it, which I didn't beat myself up about, but it sparked this, it just reignited the flame of like, what should I be doing right now to help me feel more in line
with your artistry,
with my artistry. And I love working with my hands. It's pottery is one of my like first loves. Mm. And it's hard to be
Which
a
by
potter.
The way, I have clay that I mentioned to you that we should have done an episode where we like talk and like build something with clay.
Next one.
Next one. Okay. Next one for sure.
Next one for sure.
Because it's just sitting there and I like, I don't know what to do with it.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
It'll be, I can teach you hand building. Yes. We'll do coils.
Okay. Okay. We could make like a penis. Make it very on brand. Yes. We could like build a penis.
It'd be so fun.
Okay. Okay.
I love it.
Or we don't have to make it an episode. We could just do it for fun. Like, okay. you should just come over with Rose too. Us three.
Yes. We were going to do dinner with her too. So.
Okay. Let's do that. And we could just like build stuff with it. Anyways, continue.
Anyways. But yeah, it sparked everything where I was like, I want to be doing something with my hands again. I just out of nowhere was like, I have this trip coming up to Costa Rica. Mm. Beads are becoming like very popular and trendy right now. And I was like, oh, that looks fun. I used to do it when I was younger. Mm-hmm. So the nostalgia of it brought me into it. So I literally just made beads for me and my friends on this trip. That's it.
And the photos and everything and like the beads. So Bubba Beads is like a jewelry line that you made with like all beads inspired by Costa Rica and your art.
Yeah. And I talked about it in that episode too. Like a lot of my art and just my personality and style in general is very bright and like wild.
I just love even the way you like designed the logo. Like I was like, yes.
I just wanted the brand to be fun.
Yeah.
I love psychedelics. I love like funk, psychedelic, disco. All of that is just like my brand. So I was like, I'm just going to turn it. That was like the most fun part about it. And the name is
so cute, Bubba Beads.
I know. Well, I
love it.
Yeah. So it like means something to me, but it sounds good too.
Yeah.
It like rolls off the tongue. So I'm like, even if we broke up, which we won't, but even if we did, Bubba Beads is still just like a cool name.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, I made all these beads for this trip just for us, literally had no intentions of like selling or anything. And every single night I was so excited to be done with work to like sit on the couch and I would bead.
I want to buy one.
You should. Well, I should have brought you some.
I want to buy it. Like, where do I purchase?
DM me.
Okay.
We're like going through some construction of a website. So when we have that up, I'll let you know. But right now it's mostly just DM orders. But yeah, it was just, it all just happened. I made them for the trip while I was there.
Yeah.
So many people kept reaching out being like, where can I get these? Can I buy them? Can you make some for me? Like, I'll literally pay you to make me that.
Oh my God.
And I was,
sorry. I keep burping so much in every episode that I think that everyone, I'm surprised you guys are still here.
Anyway. I love it. I wish I could burp. I would join you.
You know, you can't burp.
I've never been able to burp.
Do you fart?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So at least you have gas, but the
I've
fact that you
had
don't burp.
Like, you know, when you drink soda or like carbonation, right. I've had that, but I've never been able to do what you just said.
That's crazy.
I know, it's sad.
It's okay.
I wish. FOMO.
It's fine. I mean, it stinks. Like, so it's better off.
It's fun though.
Yeah.
But long story short, it just started people started blowing me up. And then when I was in Costa Rica, I had a girl reach out to me asking to make some for a shop down in Costa Rica. And then she has a shop in California. And so it was just, I was like, okay, could this be something?
Is this a business? Yeah.
I literally designed the logo poolside in Costa Rica.
Yeah, I remember you were still in Costa Rica and the line dropped. I was like, this bitch.
I was like, I'm just going to do it. I'm just literally, if I don't do it now, I'm not going to do it.
Exactly. That's the best thing about like, you know, when starting your own business or like just starting, you know, art, making art, dropping a song, making whatever your artistry is, like, just do it. Don't even think about it. Mm-mm. Just fucking do it.
I knew if I waited until I got home, the normalities of life would hit me. And
you'd
all
be like, and
I'm
the
busy.
Imposter syndrome, the anxiety. Are you good enough? You're right. The best thing to do is drop
just
something when you're on
do
vacation.
It.
Yeah.
It's like that Instagram post. If you're thinking about posting that picture, just post it. I don't care if it's 3 a.m. Just post it. Like,
yeah, I just post whenever I feel like it. And then just archive it later if you change your mind.
Well, now they have that thing where you can like hide your like count. So if you're doing it for the likes,
you could hide the like count.
It doesn't hide. It'll say like if
one so and so
and
others.
Yeah. Which I like because I don't think that it should be.
I didn't know that was an option to like do that.
I think it just became a thing. I saw someone else do it and then I was like, how do I do that?
Yeah.
Because I don't like thinking about
the likes.
And the likes, no matter how much I try to take my ego out of Instagram, it gets to you. You're like,
it does. Cause I'm like, this only had this many likes and this has Yeah.
It like, will take a toll. Yeah, for sure. And so I'm all for it. I'm like, no, no one's going to know. Maybe one person liked it, maybe 100, but no, ain't nobody going to know.
And it doesn't matter.
And it doesn't matter. So yeah, it was exciting. And now
I love it. Well, you guys just shop Bubba Beads. What's the Instagram? Bubba Beads.
Just at Bubba Beads with two S's at the end.
Yeah. And then DM for orders. I'm definitely going to DM. I'm going to be for professional. DM and make an order.
Let me know. Mostly custom, but if you see anything
on
there.
Do you do hoop earrings?
I want to get into earrings.
Okay. If and there's a, you know me and my hoops.
I know you do. Okay. Well, maybe I'll just start.
Do like a ho hoop and I'll definitely get a ho hoop. And you should call it ho hoop.
Girl, okay, I'm already inspired. Because that's what I want to get into next is like I want to do
a different shades of pink. I'm making a custom order, by the way.
No, that's what they are. That's what I encourage is custom orders. Because the fun of it is like looking through someone's Instagram, gathering what their vibe is.
Yeah.
And then I ask like if there's anything specific they want.
I think I want a mix of gold and pink and like big hoops.
Okay. You'll be my first earring debut.
I'll post it, tag you.
I know you will. I know you will. I love that. Oh, well, now that I've started this, I've realized like I want to get more into just jewelry making in general. Like there's so many classes you can take for like real fine jewelry making. There's like things where you can go to Italy for a month and like take a whole.
Oh, that's so cool.
I know. So it's like expensive, but we'll get there.
Right. One thing at a time.
We'll get there.
We'll happen. Mm-hmm. Well, I love that we did that whole introduction because people need to know about Bubba Beads and we need to spread the word.
Okay.
Hashtag not an ad. Hashtag just supporting.
Hashtag bead your body.
Bead your body. There you go. Broco Therapy is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what would you do? Would you go for a run, take a nap, read a book, show up for a friend? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. I mentioned before that I went back to therapy and that was the best decision I've ever made because every time I leave a session, I do feel like I just got so much off my chest. I've been suffering with so much anxiety because I feel like sometimes I don't have time. I don't have time to get all the stuff done, or I feel like I'm not worthy of doing a good job of the things that I have to do. And I know that stems from a lot of ADHD. So talking to my therapist, she really gives me the space to just vent and have those emotions, and she validates that and gives me the tool sets to be able to continue my day and to give me that confidence to remind myself that like I got this. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BrokeGirl today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/BrokeGirl.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Well, I want to talk about mental health and a mental, you know, how that plays a part in a relationship. Because, you know, everyone sees I'm in a very loving and healthy relationship. Mm-hmm. And that's real. Like, you saw the episode.
So cute.
But what people don't really know, I mean, I guess I kind of said it in the episode, but people don't really know is that we fought pretty much that whole week.
I know you even mentioned that in the episode. And I was like, we were just talking about it. I was like, it makes zero sense. I would have never.
I mean, that day we were better because, but I did want to record like the day before and he was like, I'm not in the mood. And like, we were just like not getting along. Like we only had sex once because I was like, I mean, he would have been down no matter
welcome.
What.
Welcome. Welcome.
What do you mean? Does that happen to you?
Sex one time a week? Yeah, that's like.
Okay.
It'll get there.
Because like I feel like I'm okay with sex one time a week, mm-hmm. but I feel like
I'm not.
Yeah, I feel like there's like is your boyfriend okay with just once a week?
Well, now it's just like again, life just happens, so we don't take it. You know, sometimes it's more, sometimes right. it's less. But like,
also if he's like being moody, I don't want to fuck him.
No,
sorry. Babe, sorry.
Love you.
But it, you know, it's just like, it doesn't, like, if you're.
Turn you on.
If, yeah, if he's, like, in a funk, like, I'm not, I don't, it doesn't, like, turn me on. I'm like, let's just go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on top of the fact that, like, I'm working so much, so I'm just tired.
Right.
You know?
Well, how long has it been now?
It's crazy. We actually started talking August 21st, 2020. So it's 18th.
Oh, my God. I was like.
You're like, wait, is it the
time? I literally just thought it was.
You know
was.
What's crazy? My cat was born August 22nd. So.
I don't know about
it's
that.
It's all meant to be.
You know, I believe in that woo-woo witch shit.
Right. It's that woo-woo witch shit. We were
and
like.
And she's a black-ass cat.
Yeah. She's.
Some
it's crazy
witchy stuff is going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, no, it's crazy because I mean, I adopted her from the shelter mm-hmm. and they said like, I mean, they said estimated birth.
Yeah.
And they put August 22nd. And I was
so
like,
wait, she could have even been on the
She could have been on the 21st.
Let's just say she was the 21st.
She was 21st.
Okay.
So yeah, she's been alive as long as our relationship. So our relationship is as old as Junie.
So that is actually funny, but also like, I feel accurate in like the timing of maybe what you're going through right now. I feel right. like. Hitting a year is where shit starts to get real.
Yeah.
You like learn how to argue with each other.
We definitely are learning how to argue with each other. But like, okay, so we'll get into the fight.
Yeah.
I told him ahead of time that we were going to talk about this. So he's completely not, you know, going to be caught off guard with this conversation. But, and here's the thing though, you know, now that I'm in a relationship, it doesn't necessarily mean oh, I'm fixed and now I'm happy and everything is going to be okay. Like there's shit that comes with being in a relationship and things that kind of like resurface from your, you know, your childhood trauma. And, you know, we both are definitely seeing things about each other that are like, okay, yes, we're best friends. Yes, the sex is great. Yes, everything is fine. But then like the way we argue sometimes.
Yeah.
And he's a Cancer, so he's moody.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. There's so many Cancers on this show. It's crazy.
I know. Last time we talked about this, you're like, I'm just surrounded by Cancers.
We're surrounded by Cancers.
It's not a bad thing.
It's great.
It's a roller coaster, but.
It's a roller coaster.
It's not a bad thing.
And like dating one is a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
And.
mm-hmm.
And so, okay. So it's dumb because the fight didn't, it was not anything about anything huge, you know? Like, I think that, like, throughout the week, there was just a lot of things that were just, like, irking each other. Like, I think from the first day he got here, here's the thing. His lifestyle is, like, so much more chill.
Yeah.
Like, he has his, like, morning routine. He, you
he's
know,
so cute.
He's, like, very tidy and clean and, you know, like, he's just very, like, goes with the flow. I mean, he definitely has anxiety and all that stuff, but he's... But because he has anxiety, he's definitely very, like, needs to control the situation.
Yep.
You know? 100%. And so, for me, like, I'm, you know, I'm not the cleanest. Like, I feel like I just leave, like, a trail of mess. Or I also just think that, like, I always have something going on in my life. I always have something to do. I also have two pets, you know, and that's a thing.
Yep.
Like, it's just... There's always chaos of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's just, and I think I even warned, I even gave him that warning when we first started dating. Like, just let you know, like, there's, my life just always constantly shifts.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm the type of person that, like, loves to be busy, but also hates being busy.
Right.
Like, I, like, have a struggle with mm-hmm. that. So I'm learning balance. But, so, first day he got here, he drove like 5 hours from the bay. And so, you know, he's tired. He just wants to chill. And as soon as he gets here, he realizes like underneath my bed was like breaking. So, and not because we were like on there or like having sex or whatever. It was like before the matter of fact, you know? And so I was like, oh no, I don't want to sleep on there. Like, what if the animals like to go underneath and I don't want to like crush them. Like I started like thinking, I was like, no. Like we have to get a bed now.
Yeah.
And so we made a trip to IKEA and you know, that's a whole thing.
A whole ass thing. It's literally going to Six Flags now.
It is.
You have to like wait in the line. Yes. It's insane.
And like go through the showroom.
It's crazy.
And then like go through the aisles.
You know what you should do? Order online and do pickup. And then do pickup like later in the day.
Yeah.
Like,
but it was like kind of getting later in the day. Like we only had like about an hour or two before they closed.
Yeah.
So it was like, we got to go now. Like we weren't even thinking like, oh, let's do pickup. Like, you know, because I was just like, I just want it now.
Yeah.
And I also like wanted to go out to dinner and for like drinks afterwards. Like I wanted a whole thing. So we go to IKEA. You know, it's a whole thing. They don't even have like the bed that I want. So it's just like looking for like another. It was just, it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
It's a trip. And so eventually we get a bed and the bed's heavy. And of course he's going to be carrying the bed.
Absolutely.
So like carrying the bed, you know, and I think it was just like little stuff. Like for instance, like, you know, he's like, you know, has it on a cart when we're going to the car. And for some reason, the cart was just not rolling correctly. And he's crossing the street. There's cars. And I can't find my car. So he's like stressed out.
Nope. That will put a cancer in the grave.
Yes. And he was just like, where is your car? I am in the middle of the street. And like, I'm like, chill, you know, but he's not used to just like chaoticness. For me, I'm always like, oh, like, where's my car? And like, just flowing through life. But like, he needs to know where the car is. This cart is not working.
He's already trying to plan 10 steps ahead, but right. You're keeping him like 4 steps back. Yes. And that's why he has anxiety. I feel it. I feel you.
Yeah. And so, you know, we get to the car and that's, you know, a whole thing to park the car, bring it in. It's a heavy, you know, and then to get here to take down the old bed, put in. So it's a whole thing.
Literally.
It was a whole thing. And he was sweating. It's hot in this apartment. And it was like one of the hottest weeks in LA, I think, too. That was like when it first got really hot. Mm-mm. And so he was just like irritated and I'm trying to help and I'm not that much great of help because I'm just not.
Yeah.
And so afterwards I'm like, okay, let me like buy him dinner like for helping me out. So right. I'm like, okay, I'm getting Chinese food. I ordered from Pine and Crane. Do you know what
love Pine and Crane.
Thank you.
But if he was expecting Chinese food, you shouldn't have gotten him Pine and Crane.
That's exactly where the problem was.
I'm already the cancer in me. I'm already 4 steps ahead. Nope, that man is not going to be happy with what you just got. Extremely thoughtful, amazing, delicious, delightful dinner.
Right.
But not
Chinese food.
Yeah.
So like I like ordered so much because it's kind of like a dim sum situation.
It's so good. Yeah.
And it's so good. I ordered like so much from the menu. I spent a lot of money. You know, it finally came and I was like, oh, okay, food's here. And he's like, not gonna eat until he's done. So finally he gets done with the bed, comes out, he's starving, and he looks at the food and he's like, no.
I was like, he just said no.
Yeah, he's like, never mind. And I like, oh my god, I was so, because here's the thing. Any Filipino, I feel like even the Hispanic culture probably gets this too. Like, food is such a, like, love language, which we'll get to that in another episode.
Yes.
But food is such a love language that if someone offers you food, it is so rude to reject it. Like, it is, like, it, like, stung. I was like, wow. And I'd like started
so you feeling don't even like, love me.
Yeah, I started to feel unloved. I started to feel like I was fucking up and failing. Like it hurt.
Yeah.
You know? And so, but he just didn't like seeing the onions on it. He's like one of those like picky people. So that was like, we started fighting because of that. And I just think that ever since then, it was just like all these little things. And like my cat is like super wild, as you've seen. And she was like,
well, not now.
Not now. But she was like scratching him and like, you know how cats just like are psycho for no, like you're just laying there and she will just like attack you.
It's her love language.
It's her love language.
Yeah, exactly.
And like he just was not happy. Like I just felt like everything around him was just like
wrong,
you know? And so, and here's the thing is like, you know, this is not like a deal breaker. It was just one of those like situations where I'm like, okay, this is like his flaws. And but even prior to like that week, like, you know, he does, and I'm sure he'll be open about it on the show, and he's, again, he knows I'm talking about this, but he does suffer with like depression and anxiety. And I don't want to say that I suffer. Yes, I've experienced depression and anxiety. I think we all have, we're human, but he like actually suffers with that. And so sometimes it's difficult, you know, being, you know, someone's partner that does struggle with that, because I obviously see such greatness in this person and just want them to see it. But like, it's hard watching them like think that they're not good enough, you know, and then start, you know, like tearing, like I felt like the, one of the biggest things that he did that I really hated, like when we fought, was like, oh wow, everything's my fault, I just suck. Like he started, if anything, like it's funny, like Morgan would be like, you suck, you're an asshole, but he's like the complete opposite, where he starts like tearing himself down. And I'm like, wait, this is just about Chinese food.
Not how it's supposed to go.
This is not just about Chinese food, this is about, he's like, I just feel like, you know, like he just, I don't know. It his anxiety like takes him there. And it's like, I struggle sometimes being like, wait, this is not even about that. Like, how do I just bring you to understand where I'm coming from? This is, I'm not trying to attack you.
Right.
I'm not trying to make you feel like shit, you know, but like, but at the same time, like also let you know that you just made me feel like shit.
Right.
You know? So it's just, I don't know. It's, and I felt like you were the perfect person to talk to about this, because you've been open about struggling with, you know, mental health and anxiety and depression, and having that partner, you know, like your boyfriend guide you through, you know. And granted, we're not supposed to be the person that like heals you or fixes you, but like, how do you be a partner to someone who does suffer with that, you know?
Well, okay, the first thing that I'll say that I have like actually recently read that I fell in love with, which I thought was just, it opened my mind, because I've agreed with what you just said of like, I feel like society teaches us to want to need to be alone in order to work on ourselves, in order to love ourselves, so then we can be in a relationship to love someone else. And I feel like that's guided me a lot in my life, where I've run away from situations when I've realized,
'cause you're like, wait, I'm not worthy enough because I'm not fixed yet.
That, yes, exactly. Or like, oh shit, I needed like more time to myself. Like I'm not comfortable enough with being alone. Like I need to get there before I can then be in a relationship. And recently I came across something where I read where it said relationships are not meant to be ran from if you're trying to like fix yourself.
Yeah.
I'm butchering it majorly how it was actually written. However, the whole message was that relationships, that's the point, is
that
to
is the
be
point.
With someone who will bring out your shit, and then you will help heal your shit. Because then when you go off and go alone, the whole point of this passage was like, when you go off and you go alone, you will not have anyone there to hold you accountable.
Exactly.
No one will be there to call you out on your shit. No one will be there to push you in your darkest times. No one will be there as somewhat of a temporary fix to darkness, you know? Like, even though you should be able to get to it on your own, why are we taught that it's bad to have someone help guide you there?
Exactly.
You need to always have this inner strength to be like, it has to be for you. It can't be for anyone else. But if someone else is there to help motivate you to get to that place, there's nothing wrong with that. And I learned that the hard way. Like, I definitely went through the same where it was, ow, Junie. She's like, don't say that. I went through the same where around literally where you're at now, right around a year, it became apparent that like I couldn't hide my mental illness from my partner. I was somewhat causing him pain to see me in pain.
Yeah, like I remember crying sometimes when we were fighting that week, because I think every time we fought I cried actually. Because it was just like so hard, especially when I saw him like beat himself up. It was so hard to like witness that, because I was like, wait, this isn't, let's actually like have a level-headed like conversation right now. Like, I don't want you to take it there, you know? So it was like, and a lot of times we do have very great like level-headed conversations, but at this point, like somehow he was triggered. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, I just saw him. Yeah, it was hard. Like, for instance, we went to Ralph's in Koreatown, and Koreatown is just a lot.
Only go there. I don't know why you're trying to get Korean barbecue. Otherwise, don't. And Uber, always Uber. Don't ever try to park there.
And I think it was like one of the days we were fighting, and I was like, I need to go to Ralph's in Koreatown for whatever reason. And so we went, and he had like a panic attack, and he was like, I need to get out.
That's so funny. I've thought that literally myself, being in Koreatown. No, I'm like, I'm having PTSD because I've had the exact same.
Yeah, he was like, I need to go outside.
I have to go. Yeah.
Because it's a lot. Uh-huh. It's a lot. Especially if you're not in a good mood.
It's
a lot. Mm-hmm. In the Ralphs. Have you been to the Ralphs of Koreatown?
I know which. It's the one that's across the street from Vons.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I've never been in it. But I think I've been in the Vons before.
Yeah.
I've been in the area. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. There's no need for explanation.
Yeah.
And I felt exactly what he's feeling.
Yeah. And he was like, he just cried afterwards. He's like, I don't know why I'm sad. I'm sorry. Like, this is just a lot. And it was like the thing that I did at that moment was just like literally just like held his hand mm-hmm. while he just like was having his moment. Mm-hmm. And he did tell me later that it did help. Mm-hmm. But it was just like, I think one of the times where I felt like I got it right. Like, and I'm going back, and you were saying something I interrupted, but.
No, keep going.
But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's just like sometimes I just feel like I don't know what to do.
It's funny because I've also had a friend who was like dating someone who was like going through mental health, and like they like reached out to me because they like knew that I did have struggled with that, and then also kind of went through something like on the other end of it, like being your boyfriend or who she was dating. And it's so hard because there's nothing you can do. And that's probably the hardest pill to swallow.
Yeah.
Other than just showing true, gentle, like the most gentlest form of gentle. I cannot emphasize the word gentle enough.
Yeah.
Unconditional love. Zero judgment. For me, everyone's different. It depends on where you are in your journey of like recognition of your mental health and like what you're going through. For me, when I was around the same time that you guys are in, like almost at a year, I had never said it out loud before that I suffered from depression. I'd never said it out loud before that, oh, maybe what I'm feeling when I'm like debilitated in my bed is anxiety. Like I always just thought, oh, I'm sad today. You know, I never wanted to admit it to myself. So then to have someone come around and be so close to me that I can't hide it and then feel affected by it.
It does.
And then try and talk to me about it. And I haven't even talked to myself about it. Like, that was a huge point of conflict where I was like, I don't want to hear what you have. How dare you come into my life, know me for 11 months, and then try and tell me who I am and what I need to do and that, like, I'm messed up. And that's how I took it in my head. I'm fucked up. And you're telling me I'm fucked up. And now I have to deal with the fact that I'm fucked up. All thanks to you. But all that was just my ego. It was my anxiety. It was my depression, which is another great quote that I read recently. Or maybe this was like a TikTok or something I saw where someone was like, your anxiety is lying to you. Your depression is lying to you. All of those things are lying to you. Like, they're lies that your brain is telling you.
For sure.
And it's so hard to like grasp that, because what you feel is that's my reality. There's no way out. But the more you tell yourself in your head, oh, that's a lie. You know, if he's in Ralph's and he's feeling overwhelmed, what I try and do now with everything, and maybe this is more advice to him than it is to you or anyone struggling with these things, but my thing I do the most is I question every emotion I ever have. And that's just something I'm working on, and not outside of anxiety and depression too, but just how I communicate with friends or relationships better, or like how I handle stresses at work, like anything in life. I question every emotion. So am I feeling overwhelmed? Okay, I'm accepting that I feel overwhelmed. What's making me feel overwhelmed? Oh, there's all these people around me and I have zero control over all of it. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I accept that. Why does that make me feel overwhelmed? It makes me feel overwhelmed because I have no control over my environments. There's too many people and I am scared that there might not be an exit close enough to get out in case of an emergency. You know, you continue to go down the rabbit hole of that emotion that's at hand, and then you can get to the root of it. And when you understand the root, everything feels so much easier.
That's
and then
true.
You can kind of cure. You can't, there's, I mean, it depends, again, I'm not going to say cure, but like you can work on the root cause that's causing the anxiety.
It like helps you ground the anxiety.
Absolutely.
Versus cure it, but ground
it. And it makes
give everything. Give it less control.
Less control, so everything feels less heavy. That's the biggest thing with anxiety and depression, is how heavy things feel. Like nothing feels light or airy or fun, or like nothing feels like it has an end. I struggle a lot with like existential anxiety, and to that there's no answers. Like you can't even like, you know, Google something and find, oh, what happens after this, or like dementia, like all that shit that starts to get deep is what freaks me out. And so with general anxiety, with something like that, fortunately for Brian and for other people in those situations, because I've been in them myself and I will continue to be, it's easy to just continue to question and question and question and recognize the emotion. And the more you do it, the better you'll get. Like, it's really hard at first.
Yeah.
But my partner was the one who really pushed me into like having the mindset I have now. And I have so much work to do, like an immense amount of work.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be here all like having this conversation with you, being able to like kind of step aside from my ego and like my anxiety and all those things, to even recognize and have the mindset that I do now. It wouldn't be possible. And so, well, at first it was a big point of conflict and like I really wouldn't accept it. At a certain point, it was like, okay, well, either I lose him, who was extremely important to me, or I just like, I don't know, humor him and like see what this is all about.
Right.
Like, okay, I'll go to therapy. Okay, like I'll start like going to yoga. Like, okay, fine. Let's see what.
Whatever.
Just to shut him up. Honestly, there was a part of me that was like, I'll just do it to shut you up. And like, maybe I'll say I'm going to the gym, but I'll be
But you ended up really liking it.
Literally, it took me about 3 weeks, maybe a month. And then he would like go to the gym with me, like trying to like give me support, like
physical
support.
I love that he did that.
Yeah. Well, he obviously, anyone can enjoy, like he was obviously doing it for himself too. But
it was two together. It wasn't like, he's only here to babysit you.
Right.
He's like, okay, I'm doing this for myself. Like, do you want to join?
Well, and it was like an accountability partner. He was like, look, I'll do it with you. So it won't feel as scary. It won't feel as hard. And he started going to therapy too. Like it was the thing that we did separately.
Or Christopher.
Yeah, Christian. Christian.
Is he Christian or Christopher?
Christopher.
Okay. Yeah, Christopher. Sorry, I was like, all Christian.
Christian. No. So yeah, it was, we did it separately, but also together. Like he was there to show, like, I didn't have to physically do these things alone.
Yeah.
And that was like what really, and then once I realized how much it was important to me and like how much it was working, he stopped. I'd like found my own yoga studio and like, aww, he didn't come with me
yourself.
And it was my thing.
Yeah.
And that is probably the best thing that you could do for your partner, is like find things that are within his means and also within his like his interests, you know, that like, what are the things that make him feel better? Or what are some things he maybe doesn't do enough that will help him feel better?
For sure. I guess I am already doing all those things because, you know, I mean, for one, he does do, I mean, I think the difference between you and your relationship and with, you know, me and Brian is that Brian gave me a heads up. Mm-hmm. Like, he was already, like, working. Like, he was already going to therapy.
Amazing.
And is still going to therapy. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you know, I've even mentioned he, like, lost over 100 pounds. Like, he's so focused on, like, his mental and his physical health for the sake of, you know.
It's amazing.
His mental, I guess you could say. But, so it's like he's doing all those things. But, of course, even though he's already worked on himself. And, like you said, you know, like, you can't completely fix yourself when you could when you're single. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to, like, say, like, only being in a relationship.
No, yeah, I don't want to, yeah.
But, I mean, he did the work on himself. And then, you know, we got into a relationship. And he was still a work in progress. You know what I mean? And, like, that's okay. So I think it was just, like, those moments where it was, like, this is, like, obviously something. Like, I saw the struggle, you know. And thankfully, he that week, you know, end up having a therapy session, and you know, I don't know what else he did, but like, you know, he's still like, for instance, okay, so going with the Nameens and what he likes to do, he's started like making, you know, like content about music for like YouTube. If you look on his Instagram, he always promotes it. Mm-hmm. Like, he started doing all that stuff, and it was really, I saw like such a light within him, because he was like really getting back to like what he loves to do. So I like encourage him. I'm like, oh yeah, keep making this. And like,
yeah.
I'll even like send it among my friends, like his videos, and like give him feedback and comment and, you know, all those stuff, and really encourage him, because I know that's like the thing that when he does edit those videos or writes or whatever, like talks about music and all that stuff, is like when he kind of doesn't let his anxiety take over.
Yeah.
It's like the thing that he feels so good and confident in, that like, you know, that it's like doing some like inner work and healing.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So,
I mean,
he's doing it. I think it's just like you said, there's no perfect cure as a partner on what to do. It's just having to like support. And sometimes it's like hard because like, I'm like, not gonna lie, like there's been moments during, you know, when we were fighting that week where I was like, I could just be single. This would be easy. You know what I mean? I was like, I could be single.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to deal with problems. But again, that's running away from something I actually love.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. Yeah. I know we're talking about him, but let's skirt it back to you with that comment. Because like, what is that saying about your internal trauma? Things are starting to get hard, and they're not as easy as it was when you were single, or like when you were dealing with drama with like exes, where it was like clear that you could, they're acting up. So like, you can blame things on that. Now this is something where like, you don't have the answers. It seems a little bit harder. And so to think that your first instinct is
just not deal with it.
It's to not deal with it, because I struggle with that myself. Yeah. Absolutely. And like 100%. But that's also just trauma. That's a trauma response, is
for
to
sure,
run away.
Just to run away. And I've had to catch myself. And I've said on the show, like, I feel like my toxic trait is to run away, or to like sabotage the relationship somehow. And I did that a lot in like my first relationship, my high school 5-year relationship. I did that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, and also the other relationships, there was always something they did. It was always something, they were always going to fuck up, and it was just easy to be like, peace, you know? I don't know. I'm still trying to, I guess, understand where it comes from. But I mean, I had to catch myself and walk myself through it, because okay, I could easily just run away and like think it's going to be simple, but realistically it's not, because I'm going to miss him within an hour.
Literally.
And then want to get back with him. But it's like, yeah, it's like, I still love him. This is a part that obviously is hard. That's about, you know, him and our relationship. And it's just, that's what relationship is though. It's not all supposed to be fun.
Mm-mm.
It's not fun all the time.
It's actually way harder than it is fun.
Yeah. And I think that's why it was so important for me to do this episode, because I think that's so common to get into a relationship, and once you see like some flaws, you're like, I just I don't want to deal with it and just go because it's easier. You don't want to face
you,
it.
Or you misread them as like red flags.
Right.
You misread them as a reason that you should leave. Not because right. it's just hard and you're like, I don't want to deal with it. But like, oh, well, now I'm getting mistreated or like I'm not.
For instance, mm-hmm. perfect example. One time, this is when I was like visiting him in the Bay. One time we had a busy day again. I'm always doing a million things all in one day. That's just my life. And I had to like go to Target to get something for my dog. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, let's go to Target. And he was already exhausted from the day. So he was like obviously showing that he was like irritated, but he's still going to go.
Yeah.
And so he was like being a little moody, but he's driving. He's, you know, going with it. And so we just started bickering because I'm like, why are you like so annoying? And then I said, I told him, I was like, is this how we're going to be when we have kids? And he was like, why would you say that to me? Like, he was like, this is like.
Sensitivo cancers are very yeah. sensitive.
He's like, why would you say that? Like, I don't know. So
something I for sure would also be like, what the fuck?
Right. And I talked to my friend Nina about it. And she's like, I think it's a really common thing for us women to see like a little bit of a flaw and just take it to like a next level thing that has nothing to do with the situation. It's like, of course he's upset about having to do something for my dog at the end of the day after we had such a long day. Like, he's tired.
And he doesn't have kids. I say the same fucking shit all the time. I'll see Chris pick up the cat, like, wrong. And I'll be like, so you don't know how to hold a baby. You're not going to be a good dad. You're going to drop the kid.
You're going to drop the kid. You suck.
Oh, the cat's food bowl has been empty for hours.
So you're never going to feed our kids.
And it goes, I'm serious. This shit goes through my head.
You're this irresponsible. So it's common.
It's so common. But I also, it's funny in this scenario, I am 100% with you. Like, I've gone there and will continue to forever. I probably had a moment kind of today. Daddy. Yeah. But I also am similar to him. I feel. And if my partner ever said something like that to me too, I'd be like, that's so extreme. Like, why would you say that to me? That hurts my feelings. You don't think I'd be a good mom? Like, what the fuck?
He was like, you don't think I'd be a good dad? Like, that's so mean. But anyways, once we got, you know, over the fight and we talked about it afterwards, he was like, kind of laughed about it because it was just so off. Uh-huh. Like, he was like, you know what? Yeah, I'll be annoyed when we have kids because that shit's irritating. That's the reality of being a parent too, is like, you'll have moments where you're going to be irritated, like having to deal with your fucking kid. Like,
right. When you could have been at home watching TV show.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, that's just real, you know? So I was like, okay, you're right. Cause like, it's not like he was doing anything like bad. He was just like being irritated.
And I mean, think back to our childhood. How many times did our parents have an attitude?
Every day of my entire life.
Every day.
Every day of my entire being.
Literally.
Till this day, they're annoyed with me. So it's like.
It makes sense.
Yeah. So like when I realized it, I was like, yeah, that is stupid. Because like, I'm sure as a parent, even as a mother, I'm going to be at moments where I'm going to be like, I am so tired of my kid today.
I just want to drink my wine.
Right. And not have to deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, okay. It was like those. Yeah. But and again, he wasn't doing anything. He was just irritated, like, as humans could get.
Literally. I mean, it's the truth, what he said and what he felt, but it's also very common for you to feel that. And, like, I think Chris always takes things to, like, a primordial level and always annoys me, but it is kind of true. Like, a lot of the instincts that we have do come from our gender and our gender roles. And so being a woman, we're like literally biologically made to always be thinking about our future child.
Yeah.
Not everyone wants kids. Like, I'm not saying but like
for the most part,
if you do or if you don't, you do have an instinctual, like, you have instincts as a woman, even like with this cat, like to protect. Or
that's why,
like,
she's like all over you because she feels those motherly.
She's got that mama.
Yeah.
That mama in me. But it's true. Like, if a woman saw like an empty bowl of water or whatever for a dog, they're going to be more instinctively like reaching for water to refill it more so than a man.
Is the bowl empty?
No, I'm just looking at her food. But we should make, where's her water? Oh, her water's good. Yeah. She's good. No, but that's just my point, is like, those things are still always going to arise.
So true.
And we can't
we take it as like, oh, so you're annoyed with my dog, so you're gonna be annoyed with our children.
Yeah, with my kid. Not your kid, my kid. All you did was give a donation.
And he was just like, I can't be annoyed. Like, I can't just have a moment.
Which is so true, too.
Right. It's just like, he can't. I'm like, you're right. I
actually love that argument a lot. Just because, like, it's the most real. It's the most real kind of, like, bickerment that you could, like, have.
Yeah. And it's a moment to realize that, like, relationships aren't just all fun and games and sex. Like, it's, right. like, you know, a lot of times it is, like, happy and laughter and whatever. But, like. Yeah, like, you have those moments where you just, like, you're human, so we're going to get irritated. We're going to get bitchy. We're going to get whatever, you know, suffer. You know, some of us really suffer with depression and mental health, and that's the reality of it. And, like, honestly, not even just some of us. I think every single one of us do. Even if I'm not suffering of it with as much as he is, I'm going to have my moments.
100%.
Where, like, I'm going to be acting the same way, and he's going to have to deal with it. Like, that's just... what it is to be in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just the reality. And I'm like, damn, like, I mean, again, this is like my first real adult one. So I'm learning.
Yeah.
And like, as things come up, I'm like, damn, this is real.
I'm right there in the classroom with you. Yeah. It's so hard.
It's hard.
It's so hard.
It's fun, but it's hard.
It's hard. It's stressful. And especially when you come from a toxic relationship past.
Yeah.
You're so quick to hit that eject button anytime something goes wrong because you're like, I will never put myself through that again.
Yeah.
I'm stronger than this. And like, I'm a woman who won't put up with that. And like, it is really hard to get confused as to what is a red flag and what is just someone being a human being
right.
like needs a little support.
Who just is annoyed for a second.
Really.
Because he just wants to stay at home and not instead of going to Target.
We talk about it all the time. We're like, we take turns being the support system. So like if someone's having a bad day, whoever's having, we like it, it's kind of a fun like game-ish. Like whoever's having a bad day first is the one that claims the day as their bad day. And the other person has to like... you know, be the support system kind of thing. And it's not actually legitimate if someone else is struggling. Right, like, we're there for each other. But there are times when I'm going through some dark stuff and, like, Chris will have a really, really busy day at work and he'll be super stressed and going through it. But he recognizes that, like, I need it more. And there's times when I recognize he needs support more, you know, that... That's what's so beautiful about relationships is, like, no matter how stressful they get, they're also accompanied by such beautiful, copious amounts of unconditional love that, like, it's so corny and cheesy, but, like, the love conquers all, you know? It's so cheesy. I hate it. But, like, it's true. Love is the strongest emotion that there is. Like, it can beat everything out there. And that's why I feel as someone who struggles with those mental health, like, anxiety and depression, the unconditional love I've felt from my partner has really helped me in times where I don't know where I'd be mentally without him.
Yeah.
And so it's just... you got to stay.
It's
like,
so true.
There's no...
I mean, yesterday, or was it this morning? Yesterday morning, I had like a call for work and I had to like kind of lead the conversation. And no one believes me when I say this, but I do have like anxiety when it comes to like public speaking.
Mm,
with this, it's different because it's just like so intimate. It's in my living room.
Right.
You know, and everyone
watches.
Well,
and you never have to even post this. You don't want to.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah. So, and no one's watching me live. It's all pre-recorded. And, but, you know, when I'm, like, having to speak in front of, like, coworkers and, like, a very professional, you know, place, I don't know how to talk. I, like, just don't do a good job. So, afterwards, I just was, like, freaking out, like, again, my fucking anxiety telling me that I suck at my job and that I should never, ever be.
Worthy.
I'm not worthy. All these things. And he definitely really helped me get, like, my confidence back. He was like, no, this is, like, it's all a lie. Like, you are great at what you do. Like, that's why people love you for what you do, you know? And it's just kind of have to, like, channel vocal therapy in that world and without it being, you know, whatever. So it was just, he gave me like the best pep talk that afterwards I was like, okay, I do feel better.
Yeah.
But it was like a moment where I was like, Oh my God. It was bad. I did horrible on that call. I don't even want to talk about it because I'm getting like,
take a drink.
I'm like shaking right now because I'm like, you know, those moments where you like think about it later and you like twitch because you're like, oh,
why did I say that? Like to this day, like years, yes. Things that I've said years ago. Yeah, I'm like,
oh, like yeah. It just, like I think about that like call. I'm like, oh.
There's literally that one TikTok trend that went around or yeah. whatever where it was like,
yeah,
it's real. I don't know if it's like social anxiety or if it's like just generalized anxiety, but it's just,
I have to dig in that because I think it's like something from childhood. Like because he was like, maybe were you like made fun of? And like, I think, you know, I blocked out a lot of things from like, the elementary school was kind of difficult for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where it really started when I moved to like Valencia, Santa Clarita, when I was like around a lot of white people, no offense. But I don't know. I just felt really like it was just a different environment for mm-hmm. me. So I don't know. I just remember like there were girls that would make fun of me and I just would get in my head. And so I think that like ever since then, it just like, I don't know.
It like manifests.
Yeah. So as like a grown ass woman, I'm like,
well, that's exactly what I was thinking is like, it has to come from past trauma. We were talking about like how you have anxiety with work sometimes too.
Oh of
like
yeah.
Messing up. Oh that my God. Kind of stuff all stems from, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but I'm big on like trying to understand the ego because then you can dismantle it to the best of your abilities. And yeah. That's how you can like either reach enlightenment or like approach things in a more like calm, level headed mm-hmm. and like loving way. Oh, she's waking up. Good morning.
Hi.
Oh, back to sleep.
She is obsessed with you.
I love her.
She's never like this. Maybe with HK, she kind of, but not as like attached though.
That's fine. She yeah. can stay. but yeah, it's just, I think it all has to deal with trauma, but like also your ego is in there a little bit kind of fucking shit up where you must feel some sense of it's the what we were saying, the self-worth, like if I don't nail this call or sound this way or professional enough or capable enough, then I'm not worthy because your ego wants to feel that you're the best at it.
Oh, and for so sure. For sure.
To be able to make up for the trauma that you've gone through. And so I mean, there's nothing really you can do other than just like be kind to yourself, you know, I like know. Really just like be really, really sweet to yourself. Like tell yourself, like, it's okay. Like, I'm amazing at what I do. Yeah. And my past does not define who I am now. Like yeah. those kinds of affirmations can probably really.
Yeah. Just have to like help. Talk myself through it. Yeah. Just not like tell myself that I suck ahead of time.
Journaling's always great too. Yeah. Love journaling because writing it out, it's kind of like when I kind of refuse to accept the depression and anxiety I would go through. Saying it out loud and being forced to have that conversation with my partner was really hard. Yeah. But now the more I like question emotions and the more I write them out, you don't have to say them to someone. Could say it to yourself out loud or you could just like write it down, makes yeah. it more real, then you have a point to go off of, like yeah. then you have a starting point of like how do I make this feel better or like what things remedy this, like right. you can at least start to heal. That's where healing part. starts. Yeah,
yeah,
it's not gonna start if you don't recognize or like are aware of it.
That's true. Aw,
yeah,
we love you cancers.
I know. Got a lot of emotions in us.
Brian definitely feels like he's you.
I feel like I'm him.
Because I was telling you this earlier. I want to do like a quiz where it's like a BuzzFeed quiz. Like, oh, which character are you from? Whatever. So it's like, which character are you from Broco Therapy? Uh-huh. And he was like, initially he was like, oh, I'm Quay. And yeah. he was like, I was like, I don't think so. And he's like, no, you're right. I'm Rachel.
I love that. I know when you told me that I was like blushing.
Like, yeah, he's like, I'm totally Rachel.
I love it. I mean,
like, yeah, you're very, he's very much.
Everything you tell me, like stories and everything, I feel very like similar.
Yeah, and he's also very like spiritual, like you. Mm-hmm. Like he's, you know,
I love that.
He smokes a lot of weed. You don't really smoke that much, but you do. You yeah. do. Okay, he smokes a lot.
I like. It's not like I'm attached to it or anything.
Yeah, no, he's attached.
I'm not like that, but like Chris likes it a lot, and so like at night, it's always fun to just like smoke a little and watch a movie or eat dinner.
I love that for you guys.
Yeah, But I love the spiritualness. That is, and I did want to, like, as we're finishing up, like, notate, like, the fact that he is where he is incredible. Like, you met him at a time where he already kind of went through the self-recognition process, which is really messy and really hard. And I don't know his past. Like, hopefully, you know, he's happy with how that happened, or he had support through it that he needed. But the fact that he's aware of it now is...
Oh, it's the sexiest thing ever.
It's definitely what so hot.
It definitely is the part that made me, like, really gravitate towards him, was like, oh, like, not only is he a man that's, like, super vulnerable, like, he's, like, a black man who's, like, super, like, willing to be vulnerable. And, again, I can't speak on, like, the black community, but I know what it is a lot, you know, for a black man to feel vulnerable, especially in this country. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
It's hot, and it is such a good... indicator of, like, the man he is becoming and like will
be. He's gonna
be
a good father, and I was just
amazing,
being a dick.
Amazing. Cancers make great parents. Great parents. Just saying.
Like, it's not your kids.
But it's, I mean, I would never even take any of this as, like, red flags. It's, like, amazing that he is where he's at, like, mentally. And that's the hardest thing you can do, is, like, begin awareness and then start your journey into, like, therapy is so fucking hard. And you're just lucky.
Yeah, you're blessed. I do feel blessed. But yeah, I love you.
I love you.
Like yourself,
love
bitch.
Brian. Yeah, so we said Bubba Beads. You can find me on Bubba Beads at Bubba Beads with two S's, or Rach W
SBRCH. I always have to write it.
I know. You have it better than I do.
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to plug me from now on.
I will. All right. Ooh, it's the sparkling wine. That's, it gets me, like,
it's that carbonation.
It's the carbonation. Mm-hmm. Anyways, follow me, Stephanie Megan, or go to brocotherapy.com. All that shit is there. And I also put, like, a way for you guys to contact me. So if you want to be featured on the podcast, share me your story or give me your number, whatever you feel comfortable with. And it's all on my website. So you could put in all your information. And you have to be 18 and over for me to call you. So
what?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's
true. I want to talk to, like...
kids.
Yeah. They shouldn't be listening.
No. Hold your ears.
Just kidding. Well, love you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Broke girl therapy. 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 Broke girl therapy.
Anna Sheridan. New York Times best-selling author of supernatural horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the side?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course. What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.